Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. They were studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 103. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
The Bible says, He satisfied thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And there was our primary verse that we wanted to take as our touchstone, renewed. Are you renewed today? I think you are. I see more smiles out there today than many days because we're reveling in the riches, aren't we? And I tell you, they're ours. If you're truly born again, they are ours. And I know that this world gets in your face and says, it ain't so. This world gets in your face and says, what are you doing? Come on, let's play. Let's go dance in some other floor. You know, this is not our place. Let's, well, you don't fit here. You don't fit here. You know, when I went to college, I didn't know any hymns at all. I knew one or two, but everybody knew everything. Nobody was using a book. I felt embarrassed. I'm using a book. You know what? Now we can sneak into church and it's on the screen. And you don't have to act like you don't know anything. Listen. A little humility goes a long way, amen? I mean, you got to sometimes, you know, somebody show you how to read a Bible, you know? You got to figure out how to use your Bible. That's okay. You know, it's okay. Because it just demonstrates a little humbleness of heart. The Bible says this, if you become as a little child, you can't enter in. So go ahead, go with it. And say, okay, this is where I'm at. I don't know everything. Read the Bible. Get in there. Know Him. The Bible says that He renews. And when you're reveling in the truths that are before us, you begin to be buoyed up. And when the world gets in your face and it says you don't really belong here, understand, you may not feel like you belong right at first. And that's okay. We all went through that. And I'll tell you, bottom line of my story on that thing about going to college, I was lonely. I had days where I was crying. I was in a off-campus hotel on the second floor, which overlooked the lobby. When you came out, you looked out. I knew none of those people. They were all good people. I wasn't a good people. I was a guy who got a haircut and went to college. You know, I was a bad guy who trusted Jesus but didn't know anything. And I had to make myself go down and say those silly questions. Hi, how you doing? Good, you? Not bad. Where are you from? These scripted. What are you studying? And hopefully it's conversation. And I would go to the edge of the balcony, look down. No, go back in, weep a little, come back out. And eventually, I made a few friends. And then when I would go through the campus and I wasn't in that two or three, in the zone of the two or three, I knew I had my one song. And I learned something about Jesus through that song. That He'd get me through, but sing it. You want to know what that song was? George likes this one. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. I just went back there, and that was what was there then, and it hurt to be lonely. You don't stand without falling down first. And the passage before us says that He adorns. He adorns my mouth in the sense that I am His now. I connect it to the fact that I'm called to enter into a yoke with Him. Take my yoke upon Him. Learn of me. He tells another, David's writings, he says, be not as the horse and mule that needs to have bit and bridle, lest he come near thee. In other words, don't be somebody you have to yank. Let Him adorn you. Let Him put you on display. Be that perfect workhorse. We find so many pictures of it, but I'll just mention those pictures around the throne of the living creatures. We see it on the wheels within the wheels in Ezekiel. You have the face of a man, face of a lion, face of an eagle, face of an ox. So if you're offended by being called a workhorse for Jesus, Jesus was the ox. We see him depicted that in the book of Mark, as we see him depicted the eagle in John, and we see him depicted the perfect man in Luke, and we see him, the king, as the lion is displayed in the book of Matthew. That's a lot to take in, but what I want you to know is there's so much more, and you read that book and you love that book, it will begin to take wings. It will renew you. Isn't that what you want? Don't you want to get up in the morning and find some footing because everything's so bleak down here? Yeah! He heals all my diseases. Loneliness, fear, failure, all of them. He does it all. And the Bible says that He executeth righteousness and judgment. Underline the words, for all that are oppressed. That takes us right to the Beatitudes. Blessed are they that mourn. Why would you mourn? You'd mourn because you're bankrupt spiritually. Blessed are the poor, and therefore you mourn. And so as you see Him saying that He executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed, the oppressions you feel are what bring you to the cross. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because that's what happens. You get so broken by the world we're living in that you want something else. Sick of this mess. And then you hunger and thirst for something more, and that would be Jesus. He is all our hope and peace. He is all our righteousness. Aren't you glad that's true? Because that is what we long for. Something that's right and good all the time. Well, that's what it's saying in verse 6. He executes righteousness and judgment, and it's exclusively for all that are oppressed. When, by the way, the word for justice is the idea of Him executing a verdict. In other words, when He accepted me, He brought down a verdict over me. And that's where we talked about a while ago here, Romans 5. You know, having therefore been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Remember that? How did I get declared righteous? How did God bring that sentence? Because of Jesus. The Bible says now, if I confess my sins as His child, because He's talking about God's children. He says, if we confess as His children our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I want you to know this. You read that verse, you're like, that's so good, He's going to forgive me. And that's good. You know, we want to get a little bit higher on this level, and this is what's good about memorizing Scripture. Because when I heard that verse in the early days of my Christianity, I heard, if I confess, He will forgive. But you missed the middle of it. He's faithful to do it, means He'll do it every time, and He is just to do it. How in the world is He just to forgive my sins, even though I'm His child and I should know better? Because of Jesus. And that's the touchstone that makes this life tolerable. What are your sins? Well, it can be any number of sins, and many of us have unique sins and unique circumstances that bumped us in unique ways and made us to sin in ways that others aren't bumped. And so our decisions and our reactions, they chart a trajectory for us sometimes that are not what God would have, but He is able to superimpose to us a reminder of the benefits, a reminder of the blessings, a reminder of the hope, a reminder of what a day that will be, that we will see Him one day. He will take us by the hand. He will lead us through the promised land. Those are good things. He says in verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. Now, I see this as an abridgment of something that is far more overwhelmingly cool. Okay, it's really good right there, right? I mean, you can stop right there. But he's remembering when Moses said, Lord, let me see Your glory. And Moses was told, you can't see my face. No man can see my face and live. He says, I'll tell you what, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. We say, he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, right? He hides us. Well, he put him in. He said, I'll put my hand over you. I'll pass before you. I'll let you see my back as I go by. And as he passed by, the Bible says, he's Exodus 34, verse 6. It says this, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. You say, wait a minute, that didn't end too well. That didn't end too well. Who's guilty? Me! But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the guilty ones who haven't had their sins washed at the fountain, filled with blood. And what he's telling me as his child is that he keeps mercy for thousands. Listen, I'm one of the thousands. He's keeping mercy for me. But everyone on the other side of the equation that hates people like me, because I represent him, not because I'm just not a likable guy, but because they don't like him, those people will not be forgiven. Those people, listen, will be handily dealt with. Those people will not only be handily dealt with, but those people will see their children and their children's children reflect their own values and also compound their own agonies in a hell that they will have to endure for eternity. People say that's harsh. That's not harsh. That's truth, but it's huge, isn't it? Not harsh, it's huge, because what he's saying is that what you choose matters that much. And to me, that's where we begin to understand knowledge. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Isn't that what it says? Yeah, beginning of wisdom and also beginning of knowledge. A couple places, but good. Beginning of wisdom. Good. And I want you to know, fear of the Lord is something we don't have much today. But when he says he will by no mere clear the guilty, you say guilty is not mentioned in this. If you read it, it's kind of in the italics, but he goes on to say visiting the iniquity. So, the iniquitous, okay, the guilty, the ones who have done the iniquity, the ones who have done the iniquity. He says he's going to visit the iniquity, the wickedness, the guilt of the fathers upon the children. And it means to, he will by no means clear them, means he will not pay attention to them, he will not attend to them, he will not care for them, and he will not look after them. Now, I tell you what, I like the first part of this book, this psalm, the better than that part, except that this is not in that passage, but he didn't say that. He just wanted us to remember the good stuff, because the good stuff's ours. That's our side of that passage. He's got you. And the Bible says that the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy in verse 8. That's yours. That's your birthright. He will not always chide. The word chide means strive. He won't always strive with men. The Bible says neither will he keep his anger forever. Yeah, that's the same idea that we get in the book of Genesis where the Bible says that he looked down from heaven and he said, my spirit will not always strive with man because he is also flesh, yet in his day shall be 120 years, which meant how long they had before the flood. And the Bible says God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, that every imagination of his thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. I don't know about you, but I think it sounds a lot like today.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.